It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. On the show today, the soundtracks of our lives. If you are one of the millions of people who saw the movie Wicked this winter, you'll remember the opening lines to the iconic song Defying Gravity.
Something has changed within me.
It's kind of mysterious, suspenseful. You can tell the song is going to build and build.
I'm through with playing by the rules of someone.
It's so beautiful, and it is absolutely the most wonderful match between lyric and melody. I believe that something has changed because of that big leap. Something has changed. I'm like, ooh, tell me more.
This is musician Scarlett Keys. She's a professor at Berklee College of Music, where she teaches the art of songwriting and why a song can make us feel something powerful and emotional. Often, she says, our favorite songs are defined by small and deliberate choices that composers make, like a key change or a leap in octave.
So in Defying Gravity, there's this moment where the composer wrote Unlimited. I'm unlimited, right? And so, da-da-da-da, up, high, limit, that's the limit, big, open, wide, right? So up that big octave. So kind of the craft of songwriting is when you create a big leap, a big distance between notes, it creates a hook. And it creates something really memorable. So going up eight notes. And we've heard that in Somewhere Over the Rainbow. So he included that little Easter egg from The Wizard of Oz in Wicked, which was so beautiful and vast. And so that's a word that we borrow from poetry, and we call that prosody, where everything you're doing melodically, harmonically, rhythmically is all in support of this story being told.
Scarlett has taught many musicians over the years. Some of her former students include Charlie Puth and Lizzie McAlpine, artists with billions of streams on Spotify. And she often encourages her students to start writing by tapping into their deepest feelings.
What is the thing you care the most about right now? What is the thing that keeps you up at night? What's the thing you can't stop thinking about? Mm-hmm. As songwriters, we are repurposing these human tropes into new language for the listener, mainly to understand their life in a new viewpoint with new words, with new music over and over again. That's the secret to songwriting. How am I feeling? What music feels like that? I want you to empathize with me. I want you to understand me. And all of that is in a song. Are you singing it on the downbeat? Are you singing it off the beat? Are you singing something stable? Are you singing something unstable? You want the listener to feel what you're feeling. Music is always, for me, it's always an emotional response. It can really change the weather instantly in my body, in my mood. It's just, it's soothing and it's comforting. And for some people, that's heavy metal. And for some people, it's classical. And for some people, it's country. It's all about what you love.
From our favorite music to our own voice, we are surrounded by sound all day long. But what do we actually absorb? And what do we just filter out? How does all this noise affect our emotions and behaviors? Today on the show, the soundtracks of our lives. A musician, technologist, and voice expert explain how what we hear shapes us. So back to Scarlett Keys. In her classes, she coaches students on the techniques they can use to grab a listener. Here she is explaining more from the TED stage.
One of the tools we use is tone. That's something we all understand, tone. Imagine you're sitting in a cold hospital room waiting to meet your doctor, wearing nothing but your underwear beneath your dignity gown, and your doctor comes in. Nobody wants to hear, "Hello, my name is Dr. Watson and I'm your brain surgeon." We want to hear, "Hello, my name is Dr. Watson and I am your brain surgeon." Because when his tone of voice goes up, so does your heart rate. And when his tone of voice goes down, you feel calm and like, I'm in good hands. So tone of voice matters. So think of melody as the song's tone of voice. How we say what we say is oftentimes more important than what we say. As Western listeners, we have a relationship to melody and we have an expectation to that relationship. So I'm going to play something, and when I stop playing, I want you to tell me what you expect me to play next. There it is, exactly. So some notes feel stable, and some notes feel more unstable, begging for resolution, and that's very powerful information for a songwriter to know. The words we place on those notes make the listener feel certain things. I'd like to take a moment to ruin an Adele song. I'm sure you've all heard her song, Someone Like You. In the verse and in the pre-chorus, she runs into her ex unexpectedly, and she's clearly still in love. Okay, you know the song. What if she had sung it like this? Never mind, I'll find someone like you. What happened? I apologize, by the way. In my version, we believe her. We believe she will find someone like you. No problem. There's plenty of you out there. Because I have paired stable notes in the key and stable chords, bringing a feeling of stability. But that's not the melody she sang. Those weren't the tones that she sang. This is her version. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. Do you feel the difference? In her version, we know she will never find anyone like you. We know that because she has paired unstable pitches to match the way she's feeling, building empathy with the audience. Go, Adele.
You use a couple of examples in your TED Talk of musicians, singer-songwriters who do an amazing job of signaling emotion. What is it that these people do that not only connects while you're listening to the song, but makes you want to listen to it over and over again?
I mean, I think there's a lot of things that go into a good song. And one of the things that I learned was to really pay attention to symmetry. You know, if everything is expected and everything, all the lines are the same length, all of the sections are the same number of lines, it gets a little boring. So just surprising our listener, number one, is a really great thing to do. There's another thing I talk about, and it's like if people are having a day when they're not feeling really inspired, they're not downloading the muse, mm-hmm. they're not writing the next. I'm like, well, hold on, just play with shapes. You know, there's a Lady Gaga song. If you were to sketch out the first line of her melody, it would look like a straight line. Uh-huh. That's pretty boring. But it's effective. And so here's her lyric. You've given me a million reasons to let you go. You've given me a million reasons to quit the show. So that's like a static flat melody with mostly, like, I think it's about 13 to 15 notes of repetition.
I kind of love it, though. I don't know.
I do, like, too.
Why?
Well, because it feels like she's defeated. Like, ugh, I have given you a million reasons. It feels defeated and exhausted. I've had it with you. She could have moved it a little bit. I've given you a million reasons to let you go. Or thirds. Wider. I've given you a million. No, it was perfect. You've given me. So sometimes with all of the creative people, I'm like, hey, try a melody that kind of repeats a lot. Just see what happens there.
Songs help us process emotion and understand how we feel. Pick a song in the morning to start your day with instead of the usual negative thought train that blazes through your brain, taking you with it. Put on a song you love that has uplifting lyrics that primes your nervous system for a great day. Or the next time you have questionable in-laws coming over, instead of awkward silences and small talk, put on a song you know they love and let the dopamine flow.
I mean, I think we all, Spotify and all these different apps that we, it makes it easier to make playlists and find the music that we like and discover new music too. But you have been a real believer in curating the soundtrack of our own lives. Mm. Tell me how that, you started thinking about that and why you think that's important.
Well, so 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer and I really had to turn back and look at music and go, I'm sorry, music, that I've analyzed you so much because now I really need you and I have forgotten you as medicine. And I had to go through chemotherapy and I would say to friends, send me your best song, send me your, you know, and on the way to chemotherapy, I would have a song in the car and it would be, a friend would send me, hey, I've got one, Bill Withers, Lovely Day. When I wake up in the morning, love, you know, I mean, there's so much that happens to us when we listen to music that is beneficial. It boosts our immune system. Mm. This is the science that has come out over the past 10 years, the effects of music on our health. So this thing that had saved my life over and over and over again, saved my emotional life, saved my everything, it was now, I was returning to that in a way that I hadn't before. Even when we're tired of sound, we need at least to go to music a couple times a week and or a day even, and just put on one song. It will change your biology. It's a wonderful thing. And when you wake up in the morning, instead of waking up with the same thoughts that we had yesterday, you could wake up and say, I've got my morning song. I'm going to put my morning song on. It's just a great way to start the day.
That was songwriter Scarlett Keys. Her memoir is called What If It All Goes Right? And you can see her full talk at TED.com. On the show today, the soundtracks of our lives.
The soundtrack of our lives.
Oh, yeah. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. Stay with us.